The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by DraftKings from Bar Canada here at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin.
What's up?
Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Was happening?
Not much, man. Not much.
I'd like to update people on the status of the Bar Canada at the D. The music, after a painstaking daily process, appears to have been solved.
Oh, man. Don't say that. Don't.
But I have a very large stain here by my chair, which I have no idea how that came. It's a whole thing.
I need
a newspaper.
I didn't want to figure out if it was liquefied at all or anything.
I don't want to know what that is.
I believe it's hardened at this point, Gil. But luckily, we have Sean McCollum, who always has newspaper on hand because
that's right.
Still keeping the newspaper business thriving.
Great, single handedly.
And I made a joke about Big Daddy. Right, where was the Adam Sandler movie? Right, where he lays newspaper over spills. I was like, fully had a newspaper. And I was like, oh, yeah, Sean, give me a section of the newspaper. So you're good to go, man. Stop complaining.
No, we removed the newspaper, so we're not really sure if we're good to go. On the show today, JVT, our senior NBA analyst, and, of course, the co-host of VSiN Primetime to talk NBA playoffs with us. What a night in the NBA playoffs. We'll get to that momentarily. Will Hill with all his bets on the way. And Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Jason Weingarten, who is going to be flying out. As are so many of our buddies. Rufus was talking about it. He's flying out as well. Everybody going to see Crawley at Wembley, baby.
Yeah, I heard Rufus and Jeff Baugh talking about it yesterday, man. That's crazy story.
Lord knows those two couldn't let it not be public. They're gone. So they're on their way. We're all rooting for Preston. Let's go.
Jason Jeff Porter. Said he's not actually. It's got something going on. He was jealous.
Yeah, I'm not going either. Same thing. I was like, I got other stuff. I'd love to go, though. That'd be awesome.
Oh, what an experience.
Oh, are you kidding me? At Wembley? It'd be great. Real quick, because we did this yesterday. It is schedule day. I got schedule fever. What other sport would we do this for? I guess college football to some degree as well. But, like, could you imagine the equivalent in other sports? Like, oh, the hockey schedule comes out today or something like that.
The NBA schedule.
Baseball schedule. I can't wait to find out.
We're going to break down week by week in the NBA.
Of course, we're talking about the NFL. And tonight we have a special edition of The Handle.
Yes.
Matt Brown and Mike Somich together. Matt Brown, our old primetime action co-host. And, you think he likes that? Like, he's the co-host of currently of The Handle. You think he likes still being talked about in primetime action?
I would hope so.
I would hope so, too.
At least tagged on.
Greatest show ever canceled. And then Samo bombing tonight at where Greg Peterson is usually in with his slot.
Correct. Yes.
So that is
9 Eastern.
And they're going to go through the schedule release. They're going to talk about, you know, all the little quirks they can find. Where is there a gauntlet? Who's playing 3 road games in a row? Who's got the most aggregate rest? Who's got the least aggregate rest? Hope I'm not overselling it, but that's what they're going to be doing. Sorry, guys. That's what they're going to be doing with the full schedule analysis. And
Tim and JVT getting it started. They're getting it started the hour beforehand. Yeah.
Tim Murray and JVT who'll be with us. By the way, we started the show yesterday with new games that have sort of bled into or sort of been leaked, I should say. We have a few more games that have been leaked, particularly of the international variety. Although, Kelly, we do have, let's see, we had one game added. We got a Buffalo Bills-Dolphins game that was added as well between yesterday and today. That is on.
So that's got to be the team leak stuff we're just going to get now between now and.
And it's the networks who each have these games. So this is the second Thursday. So the Thursday night game of week 2.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was.
Is the Bills at the Dolphins.
Okay.
And the Dolphins are favored by 1. But then we have a slew of international games. Remember, we already had the Packers at the Eagles in Sao Paulo the second day of the season. So the Friday night directly after the first Thursday night opener. We had the Packers at the Eagles, September 6th in Sao Paulo. And as we mentioned, Sao Paulo, by the way, and we mentioned that the Eagles are 1.5-point favorites in that game with a total of 48.5. Well, now we have a series of London games and a Munich game. So October 6th in London, the Jets are at the Vikings. Does that excite you, Kelly? Vikings are going to be 3.5-point dogs on the neutral field, even though it's a quote-unquote home game for them. You know how that works.
Yeah, that's not a bad matchup.
No, it's very nice. And then October 13th in London, the week after that, it's when the Jaguars, of course, play their requisite games in London. Because remember, they do well economically in London. The Jaguars do, even better than they have done historically at home. Jaguars are going to be at the Bears October 13th, at in quotes, right? Jaguars are going to be are half point dogs against the Bears that October 13th game. And then the Patriots, quote unquote, at the Jaguars, also in London the following week, October 20th. The Jags have been installed, because remember, you can't bet it unless it's installed, Kelly. 6-point favorites in that game against the Patriots.
I was eager to hear that one. Okay.
Yeah. And then the only other one, get ready, Munich, on November 10th. Munich, Germany. Giants, Panthers, catch the fever. Poor guys. Giants favored by 0.5 points.
Those lines are kind of... What was the Jags-Bears one?
That's exactly the one that I was curious about, too. The Bears are half-point favorites over the Jags. And remember, when we were going over the... Remember, the schedule released today is actual dates and when teams are playing other teams. But we've already known the opponents. And when Kelly and I went over what we felt were proper bets based on just the opponents, remember, I bet the Bengals to win the NFC North. And then the over-unders I liked. One of the ones I really liked is, as much as I love the Houston Texans, and so many of us do, based on the schedule that they're playing, I liked the Texans under, and I liked the Jaguars over. Remember, none of this is a perfect graph ever with NFL teams. So the fact that the Bears are half-point favorites against the Jaguars, yes, it is a neutral, but half-point favorites on a neutral, that's curious to me.
It's curious to me. Yeah, curious to me as well, especially then so we can say that there's a 6.5-point difference between the Patriots and the Bears. I think the Patriots are going to be really awful, but wow.
Yeah. For a guy who, as much as we love Caleb Williams, has never taken a snap at the pro level. So, yeah. Anyway, today, that's your NFL International Series. That's leaked. But the whole schedule stuff with Brown and Samich later today here on the network. Can't wait for that.
They have thrown me off. I don't know. We've talked about this a little bit. You and I both bet the Bengals. I've made a couple other small bets, but... The whole, like, now that everything gets all the bets get posted, all the markets get posted so quick, it's thrown me out of my normal, like, betting schedule with the NFL offseason. You know what I mean? I mean, win totals, I haven't bet any win totals. Obviously, want to wait for this kind of stuff to see, but it's just kind of a shame because you feel like you're getting win totals as soon as they're released, you're able to jump on them because you got the schedule information. But like, win totals have been up for, 2 months?
365 days a year, the NFL.
It's
now.
Wild, yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, good on the books. I'd be doing the same thing.
Oh, for real. The other big news this morning for you who are into the Triple Crown, remember, coming off Mystic Dan's Kentucky Derby win, Mystic Dan, the only horse that can obviously win the Triple Crown, but, you know, folks thought that Fierceness would be the horse to beat in the Derby. Didn't happen. Fierceness finished 15th. But going into the Preakness, including as recently as yesterday, we had Drew Dinsick on. Everybody loved Muth. Everybody loved Muth. Remember, Drew was like, Muth. And we're like, wait, is that the name of the horse or what are you talking about? Muth has been scratched as of this morning. So Muth is out of the second leg of the Triple Crown. Preakness favorite Muth is gone. Ruled out of the second leg of the Triple Crown at Pimlico at the Preakness, Kelly, because of spiking a fever.
Hay fever?
No, a fever. I see what you did there.
I'm going to go home.
It's fever. It's fever humor from Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Sorry.
He'll be at Chuckles in Lubbock next week.
Oh, man,
and at Knee Slappers in Poughkeepsie.
Sorry, poor Muth. Hope you feel better.
103 degrees. Roughly 12 hours after the horse arrived at Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore. He spiked a fever of 103 degrees, and Bob Baffert, Triple Crown winning trainer Bob Baffert, said that Muth's temperature means that the camp had no choice but to scratch him. Quote, we're sick about this. See what he did there? Sick about this. The horse had been doing really well, unquote. Oh, no, there's more. But we have to do what's right by the horse. Well, thank God, Bob Baffert, that you're doing right by the horse. But there you go. So Muth is out. And so now what was already a small field, right, which the Preakness historically always is, gets even smaller. And so there you go. And so Mystic Dan's chance of winning a second leg becomes that much greater.
We did, we got a tweet this morning about this. Jason Stark letting us know this news, tagged Drew in it. Drew replied that Tuscan Gold is his runner now.
Yeah.
With, I'll try to translate the emojis. We should really do a, I don't know if it's the, no, it's Lombardi Line, I believe, with Stormy that does an emoji segment like this. Like, I never know what these things mean, right? So, Drew's got fingers crossed. I think I can understand that one. And then I don't know, some kind of facial expression. I think means he's uneasy with the pick. Hmm. So go with that, what you will. Take from that what you will.
Emoji tough that gold. Reflects uneasiness.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to speak for Felica. He'll be on with us later this week, but I think he also likes Tuscan
Gold.
I don't
think Felica's going to be on with us later.
Oh, well, maybe he won't be. It's that time of year where the guests are sparse. What'd you say?
Yeah, if he is, he's gonna have an incredible live shot.
We're gonna get to JVT. We're gonna get into the NBA here momentarily. But I just want to say this about last night. I think with the Nuggets and T-Wolves, we are watching the NBA Finals, Kelly. With apologies to your Mavs and everybody else's teams that they like, the Celtics, whomever else. We're watching the NBA Finals, and we are watching a tour de force from Nikola Jokic, who yesterday went 40-13-7 with zero turnovers in a 112-97 Game 5 win for the Nuggets over the Timberwolves, taking a 3-2 lead in their best-of-seven Western Conference semifinal series. The real amazing part of this game, in case you missed it, Jokic matched up with Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert, who, when they play the Nuggets, he's never really on Jokic. Mm-hmm. He was last night, and Jokic made it a point to embarrass him, just to absolutely take him to the woodshed. Gobert faced him straight up 10 times last night. Jokic, 8 of 9 from the field, including just shots one after the other. One better than the previous, where you're like, oh my God. Like, it's just incredible.
Stat line is ridiculous.
You think any of these Gobert voters for Defensive Player of the Year are going to do a mea culpa? Any of them? Any of them?
No.
Of course not.
Also, like, it's Jokic, though. I don't want to defend Gobert, but he's amazing.
DPOY can't hold you less than 8 for 9. We'll talk to JVT about it next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months. 14! A VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
Slashing prices left and right. Promo code ANG. Sign up now.
That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You are paying attention to the tote board on this, by the way?
No.
ANG promo?
Yeah. We got an email.
That's what I mean. Okay. The tote board. You didn't know there's a tote board?
There's
a whole website. There's a tote board. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the co-host of VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray. Weeknight, 6 p.m. Here at the network. And of course, he's our senior NBA analyst. He's Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, at Me JVT. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, John?
I'm really happy and good. How are you, Gil?
I'm doing very well. Why are you so happy and good?
I don't want to make you angry after what I just heard. So that's.
Oh, yeah. No. Please go ahead and make me angry.
No. I don't want to say anything. I'm great.
I know what he's talking about. He must be talking about what we led into the commercial with, which is that Rudy Gobert went one-on-one with Nikola Jokic yesterday. Nikola Jokic went 8 of 9. And you were talking, Kelly, off air about Tim Bontemps, who I believe was a Gobert voter. I don't want to.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't worry. I'll be that guy. I'm sure he was.
Well, but that's right. We haven't researched it. I'm sure he was. But it sounds like what you were saying is that the immediate thing that the Gobert voters are saying will lean on is, well, Jokic does that to everybody.
And I think the immediate reaction this morning is, oh my God, look at Gobert get smashed by Nikola Jokic.
Yes.
And I think that the reasonable response to that is Nikola Jokic destroys everybody.
Right. And then off air, then we took it to, and if it was against Wembanyama, I said he wouldn't go 8 for 9. And you're like, yes, he would. What evidence do we have to suggest otherwise? So JVT, I think, is on your side. Yeah. Thanks for coming, JVT. Appreciate you.
No. Look, I will say this. I think that this conversation has very much polarized a lot of people. And I think that there is a lot of nuance lost in both sides for the most part when it comes to something like this. you know, for example, in the thought process of like, you know, he wouldn't do that to Victor Wembanyama. Well, in four games, he shot 62% against him and scored 55 points when they were directly matched up against each other. You know, like he does do this to a lot of people. Would some of those shots be more difficult? Some of those ridiculous floaters that it was hitting over Gobert because Victor Wembanyama has more length and whatnot? Sure. I think that in general, though, if Victor Wembanyama was on that floor yesterday, I think the result is generally the same. Nikola Jokic is awesome. What we saw yesterday was incredible. What we saw over the last few games from this team, Gil, you know, your show is a numbers game. There was nothing quantifiable to that. That was like a champion just going out there and going, no, we're really good. And we're going to make tough shots. And we're going to be awesome. And I just think that, like, you know, you can have your thoughts about Rudy Gobert or Victor Wembanyama or who should have won Defensive Player of the Year. But I think lost in all that is that Nikola Jokic is incredible. The Nuggets are a very good team that is defending a championship. And that sometimes, much like Thanos, and like, you know, things are inevitable. And it looked like the Denver Nuggets were inevitable over the last three games and specifically yesterday.
I'm not mad. Are you mad? That sounded very reasonable to me.
Oh, it sounded good. It sounded great.
Nikola
Jokic, MVP beat the Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, he beat him silly. Let's not sugarcoat it. Jokic is amazing. He's unbelievable. Do you agree with me that we are watching the NBA Finals, John?
I don't know about the NBA Finals, but like, here's the thing. I'll go back to the two regular season matchups that Denver had with Boston. And I talked about this yesterday when Boston was, or no, the other day, when Boston was struggling with Cleveland. I understand that there's a lot of analytics, you know, folks who shape the market, who are very sharp, who have Boston rated the way that they do, Gil. What I don't understand is the blind faith that yet again, the Celtics should do this, right? Because they should have done it last year and they lost the way they did to the Miami Heat. They should have done it against the Golden State Warriors when they were on the verge of going up 3-1 on their home floor. They blew that game. They lost to the Golden State Warriors. I get the data, the numbers, everything that suggests that Boston is the best team in the NBA. What I don't understand is the blind faith that a team that has consistently shot itself in the foot over and over and over again is just going to take care of business when I'm watching them scuffle with the Cleveland Cavaliers without Donovan Mitchell in games that they should be blowing them out. And so if you get to an NBA Finals against a team like the Denver Nuggets, who, like, you know, I've called them unflappable multiple times, they show that unflappableness just over the course of multiple games, right? The way they lose game two and they get 3 days to chew on it and the way they respond in three straight games, the way Jokic looks absolutely unstoppable, I just don't understand the blind faith that anybody would have in a team like the Boston Celtics to do this. So I kind of understand it. And I think that's the ultimate matchup we're going to get. And I can't wait to see it, but depending on where that price would be, I would very much find myself in the camp of the Nuggets if the price is right, because I think that we're not really the blind faith. I just don't really understand that the Celtics are going to pull this off, you know?
All right, let's go through these one by one. Let's go through tonight's games. First one might not even need that much time. Celtics are 14.5-point favorites against the Cavs to close out Cleveland in a gentleman's sweep. I assume you think they will close them out, but would you touch this number?
No, I think, and given the way that they've played over the last couple of games, you know, I've actually, I don't know if yours have been Bernie Gill. I've invoked your name over the last couple of days on VSiN Primetime because you and I have talked about this. Dude, the way this market reacts in game, I don't know why some of the times you bet some of these numbers, you know, before the game starts. You know, for example, the other night against Cleveland, it didn't get there, but Gil, they got off to an 8-2 start. Cleveland, the Celtics went from 12.5 pre-flop favorite to just 8 within 60 seconds of game time.
That's a
so, like, you know, like,
that quickly.
Yeah, we were
apparently I need to be watching closer. Wow.
Right. Yeah. Like it was crazy. So, you know, if you just look at something like that, and especially such a big number, if the Cavs come out and hit like 2 threes, they go up 6-0, 8-2, whatever it is, you're going to get a cheaper number. And I think it's a much better way to handle a big favor like this.
That is one flexible algorithm that it would change that quickly early in a game. Wow. All right. So then we have a game 5 tonight. This series knotted up at 2 apiece between the Thunder and the Mavericks. Thunder back to a 4.5-point favorite here.
Yeah, so this one's more interesting, and I think that this is dependent on a certain matchup that we might see or a certain adjustment. I think that we're at the point where Mark Daigneault needs to start Cason Wallace. And if that's the case, looking at Cason Wallace to go over his three-point attempts is something very much worth looking at. I think the Thunder become more viable as a favorite here in this matchup as well, because while you get a little bit smaller, Cason Wallace is an awesome defender. And what happens is now all of a sudden you can stay home. You don't have to play off guys like PJ Washington, who's absolutely murdered you here over the last 2.5 games. Now all of a sudden, you as a defensive team, you've been very good. You become become even better because you trust your one-on-one matchups. Wallace has been awesome on Irving. He can stay at home there. Your guys can stay at home, and guys like PJ Washington can test bad shooters, and things become better for you. On top of that, Luka Doncic hasn't really been that great. So I think for me, I'm waiting for the starting lineups. And if you're going to get Cason Wallace out there, which I think you should, I think his props become viable to go over. And I think the Thunder become more viable as a favorite here in this matchup against the Dallas Mavericks.
All right. Tomorrow, we only have one game, I believe, and that is the T-Wolves and the Nuggets, game six back in Minnesota. Minnesota is a 2-point favorite. Do you think this gets back to Denver for a game seven?
I want to say yes. I want to say yes. Having watched what transpired yesterday, though, I mean, there is just something going on with this Nuggets team where they're really feeling it. And they figured out so many things. And they've understood that, like, what they need to do is ultimately just dominate from mid-range and really kill this team. And you look at yesterday, too, again, Gil, like the first two games in Minnesota, this team shot nearly 56% on mid-range attempts. Yesterday, they come out there 50%. They were 10 of, I think, like 27, something like that. Or excuse me, just around 37%. But that short mid-range area of the floor, 7-16 in the floater area, killed them at the rim. Like, this team knows exactly what it wants to do here at this point. So unless Anthony Edwards and this Minnesota Timberwolves team offensively is going to figure something out, stop running screens, stop allowing him to get doubled, do something else offensively to get others involved. If Mike Conley's going to play, right, that's the other part too.
Yes.
Then I think that they can probably extend this thing out. But if Conley's not going to be out there and your only offensive valve is Anthony Edwards, I think this thing ends in Minnesota.
Yeah, that Conley's presence is huge. Fighting off some kind of Achilles injury. And thank you for invoking my name, by the way. Now I feel terrible that I scared John off air.
Okay. Honestly, I don't want to break the veil. I just didn't know you were capable of saying the F word. But that's all, right?
All right. And then Friday, and we might have multiple games Friday if necessary in the other series, but we know at least that we're going to get game six in Indiana. Pacers are favored by 5. Now, this is after a game last night. And this is we talked about that Gobert stat. Deuce McBride,
yeah,
setting 23 screens for Jalen Brunson yesterday, John. Right. He had never set more than 8 in a game, and Jalen tickled the strings to 40 balloons last night.
Yep. Look, so this is, I texted Kelly. They didn't respond because they were too cool for me. I took New York plus 5.5 here. I think that this is the fact that you get 2 days off is such a godsend after winning that game. You saw the gap between these two teams when this team is somewhat rested. Now you're going to get 2 days off to get healthy and ready. OG Anunoby status, regardless. I think this Knicks team is going to be primed, ready to go after 2 days of rest, something they haven't had in a while, to go on the road and get a big win here. Probably should have won game three the way that thing went down. You let that thing go. But I really believe in New York here in this spot after 2 days off. I think they're going to go out there, potentially win this thing outright.
Any team that's down 3-2 now, do you feel like if it's the Pacers or the Timberwolves that you feel could come back, either of those two teams?
Timberwolves are the easy answer there, right? I think that's probably about it. I don't really have much faith in the Pacers.
Yeah. Though I've said, obviously the Warriors, most beautiful thing in sports, but man, the Nuggets are right up there with Jokic. It is just gorgeous to watch. JVT, thank you as always.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
At me, JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. VSiN Primetime, weeknights, right here at the network. We'll come back. Will Hill, all his bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch that has helped millions achieve lasting change. Zyn is smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free, and can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. What makes Zyn number one? It's available in a deep roster of varieties, including coffee, cinnamon, and citrus. And you can choose between two strengths, 3 milligram or 6 milligram. Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients and is easy to use. Plus, it delivers up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction per pouch. And it's discreet, so you can enjoy Zyn indoors or out. Whether you're managing your fantasy lineup on the go, watching the game from the stands, or cheering your favorite team from the couch, you can get the nicotine satisfaction you want with Zyn. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn, ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Thank you, Ryan. You're right. We should just invent bits so we can have Ryan do voiceovers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no, I don't even know voiceovers. I need him to like host a game show segment or something like that.
That's true. We could have him do
all
that.
I did was text you last time. I'm like, we got to incorporate Ryan Hunter into the show somehow. Right. I don't know how, but I'm going to come up with a way.
He's somewhere listening going like, I don't want to be a game show host.
Probably, yeah.
We get tweets at Biddy the Book. Jason H11, as long as Kelly is headlining at Chuckles and not somewhere else, he said, which I'm not going to repeat. Betting Man Todd.
That you won't repeat? All right.
Well, yeah, you know.
I won't be shaking it on a stage anytime soon.
Bedman Todd said, sorry to break it to you, Gil, but Chuckles closed in Lubbock years ago. Oh, it did. Ian McDonald, this is great. Kelly's defense of Gobert was better than Gobert's defense of Joker. Thank you. I appreciate that.
The other comical stat line of that game, though, is wasn't Gobert perfect from the field? He was like at 18 points and was 7-for-7. It's like his best offensive game, like in like 2 months.
And I get back to the very thing I opened the week with, which is think about the thin line of all of this. If the Timberwolves had capitalized on that 2-0 lead and won this series, the narrative would have, to some degree, justifiably gone to the T-Wolves trade for Gobert. If they then win the championship, is justified, as bad as it was.
I am with you, at least from a betting standpoint, that these would be the two teams. No matter, even if the Timberwolves end up going down 4-2, like these are the two teams I would have the most confidence in winning the NBA final.
I'm so glad when I brought that up the other day. I'm so glad you overrode your Mavericks thing when I said if the T-Wolves did win this, would they be the de facto favorite? You're like 100%.
I got tickets on the Mavericks. I know. I thought from the beginning Thunder were probably going to beat them this series. I think it's a good bet tonight.
Brandon Webb, not that Brandon Webb, but a different one. Of course the voters don't regret their decision after Jokic's performance last night. They weren't watching. Jaime Leyva, with the hay fever drop, I think I heard a rim shot after that. I am here for this level of comedy. Why the long face, Gil? Glad to have you back. have a great day, gentlemen. Ed Hamilton, I, without punctuation, I don't understand what you're saying, but I think...
I guess he just got limited.
Limited on everybody but Scheffler, so he's a little confused about it. Yeah. We'll get back to some of your some tweets. I always appreciate it. Best listeners in the game, always appreciate the feedback. By the way, one last thing before we get to Will. Did you catch that thing at the end? Reggie Miller was great. He pointed this out. By the way, I thought Draymond Green was great inside the NBA last night with D'Ernest Johnson.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
I think he's fake, but yeah.
Well, yeah, clearly he's somewhat
fake. I mean, like
fake.
The guy wants to talk trash about the media all the time and then gets up there on that desk and it's like, well, hey, fellas, happy to be here.
Well, he's new media. Remember, he's the guy. But I thought it was great in pointing out the fact that Nembhard was getting toasted by Brunson. And certainly by the fact that Jokic was getting toasted by, that Gobert was getting toasted by Jokic, and he put, numbers to it. But that move by KCP at the end, did you see that when the Nuggets, they did that whole thing at the end where they were just running out the clock, the game was over?
Yeah.
And so that he doesn't get nailed with the turnover by holding the ball last, KCP got the ball from him right before the shot clock ran out.
I thought that was great.
Stay with zero turnovers for you.
The Nuggets have been utilizing too. Even just besides that, the whole roll the ball up, take some time off the game clock situation. They've been doing that a lot this season.
Reggie Miller pointed that out as well. I thought it was great. That was one of these things. What Kelly's referring to is Nuggets have the lead. There was about 4+ minutes left. Clock is running. Jokic taking his sweet time inbounding. About 4 seconds ran off the clock. Like, it was a significant amount. But loopholes in the rules.
One of those they've been doing, like, every game, but you don't notice that much if you're watching at home, right? It's an inbounds play. Like, they're about to go up the court. Who cares?
We talk about it in the NFL and guessing lines every week, but in the NBA, we don't necessarily get a chance to do that. Will Hill is here, everybody. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He is the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Also one of the Bear Bets Pod guys over there at Fox Sports with Chris Felica. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on, Kelly? How's it going? I'm good. I'm a little tired. You know, we all get on Major League Baseball for their scheduling mishaps, but that was the biggest game to date of the season in the NBA. You know, game 5, Timberwolves Nuggets to tip it off at 10:45. Not ideal if you're in the East Coast, but got through it. I am looking forward to the conference finals and the finals when you get a little bit more reasonable tip times. It's cool to have games on all the time, but you know, it's tough when it's a game like you have to watch. You feel like you have to stay up for, but man, 10:45 tip off is a tough one.
All right, can I ask an ignorant question? Was that partially because of the Indiana Fever having their debut in the WNBA? Because remember, that was 7:30 Eastern, so you got a half hour of that game before the Knicks game tipped off at 8 p.m. Eastern, which was a late start, which then beget the later start for the Nuggets and the T-Wolves still later.
I don't think that one had anything to do. I think that's just a Madison Square Garden. They wanted that later, more in prime time for the game there. It's the
but the Knicks haven't been starting at 8 p.m. Eastern this postseason.
No, not the whole time. They're all like random, right? They go from 4:35 our time. I mean, they did move that game, though. You're getting an extra day now of Knicks-Pacers on Friday because of Caitlin Clark tonight. Thursday night.
You know, when I was a kid, Will, we watched the NBA Finals on tape delay on the East Coast. Not sure if you're aware of that.
I've heard. Yeah. I mean, look, it is a little bit late. I'm not sure if that's the reason why, but yeah, definitely a tough one. But excited. I'm curious, you know, before we get to these games, if you had to make an over-under right now, how many game sevens you get? What do you think is a fair number?
Game sevens in this round or the rest of the postseason?
Yeah, no, in this round.
Good question. I am going to say that the number is one and a half is the number you would have to make.
One and a half. Yeah, I think OKC Dallas probably goes seven, and then, you know, coin flip that you get one more. I mean, the Pacers are favored to go seven, so I don't know. But it'd be fun to get some because we only had that one in the first round, and it was really kind of a fake game seven where nobody was into it. Nobody cared. Early Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
Magic Cavs on, that Sunday a couple weeks ago. So yeah. It'd be fun to get a couple of them.
Which ones do you think? So clarify that. Which ones do you think go seven then?
I do think OKC and Dallas go seven. I know the Pacers are, five and a half point favorites. I just have a feeling the Knicks beat them. I definitely like the Knicks plus the points. I just think that's a lot of points with a team that's the better team. And the Pacers, some of their stuff on defense, the rotations, they just give up layup after layup. I have a feeling the Knicks, with a couple more days rest, it was helpful to, you know, even rest the end of the fourth quarter yesterday. They certainly looked, or on Sunday, they looked rejuvenated yesterday. I think the Knicks come out for blood. What is it, Friday for game six here? Yeah. I think the Knicks close them out here.
Knicks close them out. You agree that we're watching, I mean, I'll say it one more time, but NBA Finals, this is that with between the T-Wolves and the Nuggets?
I would definitely pick the Nuggets over the Celtics. Be 50-50 between T-Wolves over the Celtics. So I agree with your sentiment, but I wouldn't be as emphatic as you are, where there's like no chance the Celtics would beat the T-Wolves. I don't think the T-Wolves are getting out of this series. It'll be interesting to see what the line is. I still think Boston would probably be favored over Denver just because they do have home court. And remember, they played not that, late or pretty late into the season. I think it was early March, and Boston was like a 1-point favorite, even in Denver. That's not that long ago. So I think Boston will probably be a slight favorite. You'll probably see Denver get bet and get money, but I do think Boston will be the favorite.
You yourself say it all the time, though. The difference between the regular season and the postseason in the NBA is like, you know, it's two different things. Like, how many times do we have to watch the Celtics be mediocre? And I know they've only lost two games, but they're games that are reminders of just how fragile they are in terms of in-game strategy or lack thereof. I actually think if it is the Knicks and the Celtics, I have a feeling that is a long series, man.
Really?
They got to get OG. Well, I mean,
they would need Ananobi. And look, some of the guys, this actually makes Thibodeau look bad in a way. Some of the guys that he's been banishing, that he's been so afraid to play for even 3, 4, 5 minutes, Burks, Achiuwa, McBride, like those guys looked pretty good. It's like, man, you couldn't have snuck these guys on the court for 4 or 5 minutes some point earlier in the series before your whole team got run into the ground. Very strange how he's managed the minutes.
You making a play tonight, either of these games?
I like OKC. I feel like Dallas let the series slip through their fingers the other night. What, 9 of 19 from the foul line in the second half? Luka doesn't look 100%. I just felt like he gave OKC a lifeline. I don't think OKC was winning three in a row. Now with 2 out of 3 in OKC, which is a good home court, I figure OKC figures out a way to win 2 out of 3. So he'd probably take 7, but I do think OKC wins the series.
All right, and your NBA Finals right now is?
Nuggets Celtics, back to where we started, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's everybody's safe answer, and I think that's the correct answer. We'll come back more with Will Hill, get all his baseball thoughts, all his baseball bets, see what else he's betting, including perhaps the PGA, maybe the WNBA. He's all over the place. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time. So saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when you use promo code VSiNHorse. All one word, VSiNHorse. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses and watch the races live right in the app. Download the DK Horse app now. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Will Hill, kind enough to join us. Just want to read this one tweet. This is from Trip Tepper. He said, this may be more suited for a Megapod discussion, but have you looked at the sportsbooks that have the biggest in-game algorithm overreactions? The high sensitivity of the in-game price adjustments is certainly worth exploiting, in my opinion. And that's why, Trip, I brought it up when JVT brought that up about the early adjustment that he was saying occurred during the Cleveland-Boston game. Yes, if a team goes up, but it's, I don't know, mid-second quarter, right, then we can exploit it. But at 8-2 to see like some dramatic adjustment is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to kind of follow up more on that with JVT. My initial assumption as soon as he said it was it's a shop in town that does it manually, live betting.
They must be.
Because almost never see something.
Your standard restaurant quality algorithm will not do that.
Yeah, thank you. That's the right way to say it.
Yeah. Will Hill, once again, at Not The Will Hill, Bear Bets Podcasts over there at Fox Sports with Chris Felica. And the name of his podcast, Shoulda Bet More, comes to us once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You having a good time with your podcast, man?
Loving it. Loving doing it. You rename it as what? Wish I'd Wager. You like to extend the name to
it. It's an actual conversation you and I had, Will. I don't know if you recall, where you were like, you know, I'd like to name it. In different circumstances, perhaps it would have been better of me to have wagered a larger amount. And I said, just call it Shoulda Bet More. And you were like,
yes,
okay.
That's what it was.
Right.
That's what it was. Yeah. Speaking of the algorithm, it's funny you mentioned that because I noticed that with baseball the other night. It was, it happens all the time. It'd be a high leverage situation, granted, but it'd be like a scoreless game, second and third, two outs, and the line will be like -150. And one pitch, like a ball, to go from a no count to 1-0,
yes,
go from like -150 to -170. Like, there's no way one ball in the situation is worth 20 cents. So, yeah, it is fascinating. It'd be interesting to hear, you know, what goes behind the line moves in game like that.
And if you find one, you probably kind of keep your mouth shut about it for a little while, too, if you're being honest.
That's usually, which Trip Tepper was saying, it's a Megapod discussion. That'd be perfect for Todd. Todd loves to interrupt these books and let them know when they're making mistakes.
That's right. Thanks, Todd. Just tell them when they're making a mistake. All right, I want to get to a lot of stuff with you. So let's finish the basketball discussion, because you and Kelly actually had an interesting one off air about Dallas and OKC, where OKC's 4.5-point favorites, and I don't want to gloss through that. You guys both feel that's a little inflated.
I feel it's light.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I'm torn between, there's some -155 on OKC to just win the series. I'm sort of indifferent. Hey, if I can just get away from laying the points, I do have a strong feeling. I have some conviction that OKC does win 2 out of 3 here, at least. So, look, I if you tell me, hey, I'm laying 4, I'm laying the series at 155, I'm kind of indifferent to which one's better. I think OKC wins tonight. I win the series. And I just think this is a little, I think Dallas let the series get through their fingers the other night. It's very rare that, you know, you can let a team off the hook like you did the other night and just get away with it.
Well, maybe stop whining so much, play basketball. That'd be my advice. Yeah,
the Thunder have been taking money each of these past couple games. So that's what we were talking off air. It closed, you know, that last game closed like Mavericks 1, 1.5. So I was a little surprised to see only Thunder 4, 4.5 out there right now. I thought it'd be a solid 5. Heading back to
if you're a 1-point dog on the road, they're saying you're a pretty significant favorite or the better team by a decent margin. Now, of course, Zigzag's theory plays into this where, hey, the team that lost the last game, there's the theory that, hey, they need the game more, so we adjust for that. But this doesn't seem like this does seem a little light.
Yeah.
All right. So Caitlin Clark's debut last night, again, for those who missed that, the Fever lose. No surprise there. Caitlin Clark in her debut, a team high 20 points, but she did commit 10 turnovers. That's the most in a career debut in WNBA history. Fever lose 92-71 to the Connecticut Sun. You didn't have a bet on that game, but you did make a Fever bet.
No, and it was a missed opportunity. I wish I had played the under combo stats because I just think, and this leads into my Fever bet, I think everything with her is going to be inflated. She's fun to bet. She's fun to root for, fun to watch. People like fun. Well, you know what happens with fun? The other side usually is where the value is. And I bet under 21.5 wins, it was -130. I don't know with WNBA if they keep those adjusted wins up through the year. I see they're 6-point dogs. I think it's tomorrow against the Liberty. I just think that if people want to root for her, they want to, you know, cheer for the good story. She's obviously great for the sport, but that leaves some value, I think, on the other side. So playing her under player prop, whether it's points, assists, rebounds, the season win total under, I think you'll do pretty well fading her here just because she's so popular, and the books know that she's popular, and they know they're going to hit with getting hit with nothing but pro Clark money, pro Fever money. So the under, the opposite side, I think is a good way to play it.
And you said it right there with that, which I think is the key point of all of it, Will. We don't know quite yet. We will find out very shortly if Caitlin Clark's amazing presence and the net that she cast in terms of lifting the sport, as I mix metaphors, will it actually extend to the betting markets? Will we see adjusted season totals?
And people are afraid to say it, and it's just she's such a lightning rod. And even if you like her, if you point out one like flaw in her game, you just, oh man, you're like a sexist, you're a hater, whatever.
Right.
But there are, I mean, people who follow the sport really closely say, you know what, she's going to be good. She's going to be a really good player, but not good on defense. Doesn't really do much off the ball. He needs to get a little stronger. And remember too, like there's a couple things here, like from a non-number standpoint, people are going to come at her with their best shot. There's a lot of jealousy. She's sure. A target. People are going to come at the Fever. People are going to come at her with their best shot. They're going to want to score a bunch of points on her. So she's going to be a target, especially defensively. And plus, she just came off a long, grueling season. I mean, she must have played, 40 games at Iowa? I mean, the season just ended a month ago or so. So it's not like she's had time to recharge her batteries. Plus, again, to add to the point here, I mean, she's been doing a lot of media commercials, all that kind of thing where, I don't know, is there some fatigue? Is there some, I don't want to say distraction, because she seems like she's obviously focused on, you know, becoming the best player she could, but there's a lot of things to like, all right, well, what kind of performance are you getting from her coming off this college season with all the things she has going on?
Kelly and I are going to do some Valhalla a little later, PGA Championship. Did you end up betting anything in golf this week?
I took a little. Justin Thomas is 50-1 at DraftKings. Wyndham Clark is 40-1. So I haven't really dug in yet. I'll check out long shots. Is long shots up yet? I'll have to check that out later, but I didn't go too crazy with it. I just feel like with the way Scheffler's playing in these majors, I don't feel like it's a little bit of a donation. Granted, I don't want to take Scheffler at 4-1. That's just too short in terms of value, but I'm curious what Kelly likes and what Kelly thinks.
Two audio pods up already, Will. Video coming later at noon Eastern time, and an additional pod later today.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys do like four?
We don't
four?
Need these longer pods. Just tell me who's going to win. Just do a 30-second podcast. Tell me who's going to win. And that's all
Scott. I'm even shortened his name, Scott.
How many times is that? That's the single chief biggest complaint of any podcast in history. Just tell me who's going to win.
Just give me winners. Shut up, you clowns.
What a PGA it is. Scottie Scheffler just having had a child, and then Rory McIlroy getting divorced, as we just learned.
Yep.
We'll see how that goes at the top. Xander Schauffele, the number three shot in the PGA. We'll talk about it more later. Baseball, last couple minutes here. What do you got today?
Played under 4.5, first five, Brewers, Pirates. This kid Gasser going for the Brewers, lefty. Nobody's seen him before, only made one start. So I think it's always hard to hit a lefty you've never seen before. Perez going for the Pirates. He's actually thrown the ball pretty well. So I played under 4.5. First five, some day baseball. So that's always fun. And I didn't bet it yet, but I think I'm going to. Aaron Judge, 16-1 to win MVP. Now, he had a bad April, ooh, but he does have 10 home runs. The leader is Kyle Tucker with 13. If you look at his track record, like the last couple of years, in like 900 or so at bats, he's hit 99 home runs, which doesn't seem real. If he could stay healthy and get somewhere near that pace, he can get probably in the 50s. And look, Soto's the favorite. Judge has had a bad start. There's so much time left. I mean, look at a couple years ago. Harper was 30-1 in August. Robbie Ray was 150-1 at the All-Star break. Look at football. You know, Lamar was 15-1 with a couple weeks ago. The first month, I don't want to say doesn't matter because all the stats count the same, but there's plenty of time left. There's over 100 games. If he gets in the 50s for a Yankees team that's going to win, you know, maybe close to 100 games, is in first place right now. I just think he was 6-1 to start the year at 16-1. That's probably an overreaction. You're getting a decent number there at 16-1 for a guy that could hit 50-something homers for a first-place Yankee.
Let me just ask you this on the way out, because you're a lifelong Yankees fan. Twins had won 17 out of 20 baseball games. Then they play the Yankees, and you know about this ownership. The Yankees just absolutely own this franchise. As a Yankees fan, are you aware of it? Is there anything to it? Is it just random?
All of the above. I don't, it doesn't make sense that a team could own a team like this when it's not like it's over a 3-year period or 5-year period. I mean, you're talking about early 2000s, like Jason Giambi and you know, walk-off grand slams in the rain. The teams have changed so much. I mean, there's something to it with a big market versus a small market, but nothing translates. And it's happened in the playoffs too, where the Yankees have just killed them. Nothing really, you know, adds up to the point where they should own them to the level they do.
Twins -135 favorites today against the Yankees. I even remember playoff games where I was betting on the Twins at Yankee Stadium, and like Morneau would hit double down the left field line. They're like, nope, it was foul. It's yes. Like before replay, you're like, what?
Nathan blowing saves, yep.
Oh, man. Will, always a pleasure. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Shoulda Bet More is the name of his podcast at not the Will Hill on the old Twitter machine. We'll come back. We'll talk Valhalla next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.